Good morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. It's a new day. Thanks for kicking it off with us here at WFHR. Take it, Marv. Got your host, James, by the mic, joined by Melissa.
Good morning.
And the best listeners in radio. Thanks for joining us, everybody. We're going to get into some entertainment news in a moment. A little bit later, talking about Facebook and 21 things you should not post on there as we're celebrating their 21st birthday. And we've got some food hot takes. Food hot takes coming up for you in a little bit. But first, we kick off the hour the way we like to with one of our callers jumping in. Good morning.
All right.
Hey, good morning. This is kind of entertainment news, though, James.
Okay.
And it kind of mixes in a little bit with your movie poster thing.
Mm.
What you should do is go on Pawn Stars and see if you can sell them that way. You know, make millions or hundreds of thousands, you know, just go out there.
Yeah, yeah. No, you know, I'll do it even if I don't sell any of them. I haven't watched that show in a decade, but I used to watch it a little bit. And it'd kind of be fun just to see what it would be like.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, it'd be kind of cool. I mean, I thought about when we went out to Vegas a few years ago about trying to, you know, find the shop and go in and book in there. But, they, you know, some people have gone in there that I know, and they said that Rick and those guys aren't really there.
Yeah, yeah, so, I've heard that.
Obviously, I mean, there's just a reason behind that. But, and then they kind of lock up the shop, only let a few people in there when they make their, you know, they start doing their, their recordings too.
Mm-hmm.
It was the last show that got that. It was the last time I was naive with the show. I haven't been since. It was because I'm like everybody else watching all these reality TV shows blowing up and everything, and I'm like, oh, I don't like any of these. I'm not watching The Real Housewives of Albuquerque or any of this. And then this one pops up, and I'm like, oh, this seems interesting. And it pulled me in, and I thought it was very, I thought it was kind of interesting, and the people that were doing it and stuff. And then you find out a little bit
they
more,
like
a little bit
people.
More. Yes, yes, and a little bit more. And by like the third episode, I'm like, wait a minute, like. But being honest about it, they had me for a couple episodes there where, you know, I thought that the whole, like, it was a good idea for a show. I think a better idea for a show would be just a real pawn shop. And I think you'd probably have to have it on HBO, though. You'd probably...
Not safe for regular television.
Yeah,
I mean, but it
yeah.
did go on for 23 seasons.
20? Dang. So, wow. Wow.
Yeah, since 2009.
Yeah, it was one of the longer-running reality shows besides Survivor or whatever, if they consider that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, also that those guys, I mean, I obviously I don't think they do it anymore. The two guys that were out of Iowa that would travel around the country.
Oh, American Pickers?
American Pickers, yes.
That's another one. Yep, I mean, I watched that for a while,
I like
too.
That one.
Yeah, that was, I got it.
They
got
are still
there.
Doing it because they were in Adams County, like, this last year.
That's right.
Well, I thought the one guy passed away. I thought he had a heart attack or something there.
I'll have to look into it.
Yeah.
But yeah, that one's been going on for 26 seasons.
That would be a fun one, too. That's another one. Like, for me, with those shows, whether they bought anything or not, I'd still like the idea of meeting those people and, like, doing it. That'd be kind of fun to see the behind the scenes of it and everything.
Yeah, Frank Fritz did die. Yep.
They may be continuing with somebody else, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But yeah, I mean, all those kind of, you know, like I said, you were talking about your movie posters. You got, you know.
Well, do you have anything Kevin? Do you have anything?
Well, a few years ago, we were cleaning out the basement of my mom's house before we sold it. And, I mean, she had some older, like, beer signs and lighted beer signs and things like that. And some of them were kind of beat up, but I was really surprised when we put them on eBay on how fast they went and the amount of money that we got from them.
Yeah, it's crazy. Yeah.
Yeah, those are highly wanted.
My dad used to talk about if you have an old item, there's somebody out there that'll pay for it. Like there's he talked about this with baseball cards a lot, but it wasn't about how much they said on, like, in a book or online how much a card was. It was who's that guy's favorite player and how much would he pay for it. Like that, there's a market for everything. There's a market for everything.
Well, like they always say, is one person's junk is somebody else's treasure.
Yeah,
so.
But
yeah, I mean. Some of that stuff, it's just surprising. I mean, you might have one of those rare items in that roll there that you have too. You know, you just never know, James.
Yeah. We did.
Yeah,
a story.
You better figure it out, James, and put it in your will because your children are going to be going after those movie posters when you die. Just giving you that heads up.
I'll tell you how to spell my last name if you want to put.
Yeah, I'm going to just put in a note here. Put Kevin in there. Got to get Kevin my Western posters. All right, there we go. I appreciate you, man. Have a great morning. Safe travels out there.
All right, guys. Have a great day.
You too, Kevin. James, the only one I want is Titanic.
You have that one. You and Terry can fight over it.
Somehow, I don't think you saved the Titanic poster.
No, didn't. That's
wrong.
A shame.
What's wrong with you?
I was remiss for not saying it. Today is mail deer delivery day and the mail person delivery day and all that. So we appreciate Kevin and all of our delivery people out there and
absolutely.
Stuff.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much. Safe travels out there, everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go ahead and dive right into it. We'll continue talking a little entertainment.
But before we move on, I just want to say to our postal workers out there and all our federal workers, thank you and continue to hold the line.
Yeah, we appreciate you. We will try to keep an eye on our dogs. We will try to try to help out. They're doing another remake or sequel or whatever you want to say. A Buffy the Vampire Slayer sequel series is close to happening with Sarah Michelle Gellar.
Really?
It's, quote, nearing a pivotal a pilot order at Hulu. So that's really one of the last steps that needs to take place for these things. Sometimes it works in reverse, where the studio or the company will come to the creatives and ask them, hey, would you think about redoing this? But more times than not, it's the creators or the cast members getting together and talking about, you know, we would love to do this again, or here's an idea for a reason why we would do this again or something. And Hulu or Netflix or one of these people being like, yeah, we'll buy that. Yeah, we'll do that. Did somebody say nostalgia? Oh, yeah, we'll sell nostalgia. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah, the fact that Sarah Michelle Gellar is involved in it, number one, I think gives it a lot of credence then.
Yeah, there's two big factors here. One, to have the original Buffy, to have Sarah Michelle Gellar, 100% agree with you.
Mm-hmm.
The series will focus on a new Slayer, but Sarah Michelle Gellar will be in recurring role. There's no word in the new show yet, but the original series, which aired 97 to 2003, was created by Joss Whedon, who has been canceled 15 times over, rightfully so. I never understood the hype for that guy, he's got a bunch of allegations out there and a bunch of different things. He ain't working again anytime soon, and I think even without that stuff, I don't know that he should be working anyway. That is a big part of this for a lot of people that were big fans of the show, and it was huge.
Mm-hmm. I never watched it, but it was huge. I've seen little bits and pieces, but I didn't follow it.
Yeah, I never saw one episode. I couldn't tell you much about the show, but I do know that a lot of people that enjoyed it and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And for them, the dirty taste in their mouth that Joss Whedon was a part of this, and the idea of bringing it back and him not being a part of it kind of gives those people a lot, like, something to look forward to.
And for Sarah Michelle Gellar, really just like taking control of something that was huge for her, because that's really what shot her to stardom, wasn't it?
Yes.
So I mean, I applaud this 100%.
And,
you go, Sarah.
Yeah. And one other side note about this, for those that don't know, and I apologize if it's already common knowledge or not, but we have to cover this as we are the home of Dolly Parton News. Mm-hmm. Did you know that Dolly Parton has always been involved with Buffy? She's a producer through her production company, Sandollar. Dolly recently commented on the revival possibility being in the works and how excited she was about the idea of it coming back.
Cool.
I think that's probably, I guess it may be common there. Maybe a lot of people don't know about that.
I didn't know that, but obviously I didn't know the show, so.
Well, and you know, while it may seem like, wow, Dolly Parton being a part of that, this is because not only is Dolly Parton, I think, you know, one of the biggest names in music history and the voice of country music and so many other things you could say, Dolly Parton is arguably the smartest woman in entertainment industry history. What Lucille Ball did, she got the, no pun intended, I was going to say she got the ball rolling. God, I'm bad. I am horrible. But she did. She did got things moving. And Dolly Parton picked up the baton and got it, took it to a whole other level in the entertainment, whether we're talking TV, movies, 9 to 5. Look at the history of 9 to 5 and her work on that and how involved she was in some of those things. It's really impressive. So you're talking about a TV show that started. A strong female lead. Yeah, Dolly Parton's going to be a part of that. Dolly Parton's her, yeah, that's a, that, you can put aside all the details of a supernatural story or any of these things. That's something that she is, Sandollar and her production company are very big a part of and have really been game changers when it comes to that. We're not talking about in 2024, 2025. The Buffy the Vampire Slayer was 97.
Yeah.
And while that may not seem that long ago to some people, but this was still an issue back then. It's still an issue now, but it was a bigger issue back then.
Yeah.
And we go the other direction with a new show coming back. There's one that is going to be going away, possibly, or changing. Deadline just reported that Tim McGraw is exiting his Netflix bull riding show, and we will no longer star in the project. The untitled show was announced back in May, and Tim was attached to executive produce and star. But now sources close to Tim are saying that he needs to undergo back surgery, which will require major recovery time, which is not only going to affect his acting, but his touring career.
Wow. And I don't think bull riding would be on the schedule then.
No.
Back surgery.
He's also coming off of orthopedic surgeries on both of his knees in August, which forced him to cancel his 2024 tour. Now, the bull riding character on Netflix show is to Melissa's point, is very physical. So they are looking. It does look like they're possibly going to recast it. There's no real idea what the future of the show might be. But the log line for the show was: the drama follows a megastar champion facing a life or death crossroads when confronted by the arrival of fearless young rider who pushes his boundaries and all this. This isn't my world, but I, growing up, I knew a bull rider who was somebody who traveled around the Midwest here and everything doing it. I found, like many people out there, saw Urban Cowboy and some of those things. I think this is an untapped market. I think that a TV show about this world and about that life and the people in it can be really interesting. And we've got some success with shows. Luke Perry was in a movie, I believe, 8 Seconds or something like that. That was pretty popular.
8 Seconds.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think this is a untapped market. And now the thing that I think that this world is missing is a TV show. Usually they're movies that do well about bull riding and that. A TV show, you could take your time. You could really stretch and explain that universe and the world and all the things that go into it. Mm-hmm. As we're getting more and more, along here in this game, we're seeing more and more things like ATV riding and, fishing. So many of these activities that just aren't getting picked up. More and more, the numbers are going down for these hobbies, these sports, whatever words you want to use.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. While I may not do these things, I don't want to. I think it'd be cool to keep them around. I think it'd be cool to kind of have something that focuses on.
It's an interesting sport. And looking back, there are quite a few bull riding movies over the ages, all the way back to 1934, John Wayne, The Man from Utah.
The Man from Utah. God, you just made my mother just sit up in her chair and immediately rise up and go into her computer to look up where she could find that movie. She found out recently that she could look up these movies and clips and everything. So she's been having some fun with that. Nice. And it's a great reference by you. But there's been movies, but not TV shows. I think that a TV show would be really good.
Yeah, a TV show probably would be pretty good. One more I just have to mention from 2015, Rodeo and Juliet.
Oh, God. I had not heard of that one. Oh.
It might be a Hallmark movie. I don't know. It kind of looks like the cover of one.
Oh, that's good. Some local theater going on as we wrap up our entertainment. I want to remind everybody that our friends over at Central Wisconsin Area Community Theater, CWAC, have Clue going on. They got two more shows for you.
Oh, you do not want to miss it. There's a lot of physical comedy. There's stunts in this show. The set is fantastic. It is so well cast. You'll laugh. You'll giggle. You'll snort.
It's so good.
It's really good.
We got some of our favorites in that one. Be sure to check it out, everybody. Support local theater and get your tickets at CWAC.org and meet them there February 7th and 8th, 7 o'clock shows over at the Century Theater at 1800 North Point Drive in Stevens Point. And also keep in mind, everybody, that our friends over at Wisconsin Rapids Community Theater celebrating 50 years.
50 years.
And part of how they're doing that is with some amazing main stage shows. And one of them, Arsenic and Old Lace, right around the corner.
Oh, such a classic.
We're going to be having the cast on, and we'll be talking with some of them and everything. Looking forward to that. I encourage you to get your tickets for Arsenic and Old Lace coming up February 27th. And they'll have a run there. We'll be talking more about it as we get closer to it. And, of course, Silver Fox has got their situation comedy, a radio show coming up February 20th.
Oh, that'll be a fun one too. I love the Silver Foxes.
Some great people, great work going on over there. Encourage you to check that out and maybe be a part of Silver Foxes. Anybody out there, they're always looking for new people.
It's a lot less pressure. You don't have to memorize as much, you know, for lines and blocking.
And I'm glad you said that and said it that way, Melissa, because when we talk about auditioning, I think that a lot of people, especially for me, when I share my auditioning stories and everything, I talked to a listener recently that said, boy, I heard you talking about it. It just seemed so intimidating when we were talking about community theater. I need to remind the audience, I'm insane. I take this stuff way too seriously. And whether it's community theater or an audition that I just did yesterday for a independent film, which went really well, by the way, everybody. Nice. Yeah, I'm really happy. I needed that. I needed it, Melissa. I needed a good audition. Whether I get the part or not, I needed that win. So whether any of these things, it's not as it's really not that much pressure. It's really not that intimidating. And honestly, the thing I think I miss so much in this topic is it's fun. It's fun to do this. Whether you get cast or not, it's such a fun experience. And the pride you feel in yourself for doing this. Hey, yeah. I did that. Hey, I got up on that stage. I tried. That means something. That really is something you can build on and you can feel good from, whether you get cast or not.
Mm-hmm. And I think the best example of that is the interviews that I did with theater students, the theater kids that are involved in our Hopo productions over the summer on the Community Stories Junior Show. One of the things that they talked about a lot is, going into an audition, they were nervous, but they had fun.
Yeah.
They really, once they got into it and the audition process is easy because you're just reading. You know, you're trying out some things, you're reading, the director will say, okay, I want you to do it again, but you're going to be this character and, you know, swap roles and try it with an accent, you know, or they'll make suggestions for you to do something a little different and it's fun. It's a good time.
And I bring a lot of this up because we're almost a month away from the auditions for Noises Off. That'll be March 10th and 11th. It is directed by our own Melissa Kay.
Yes, I'm excited. It's my directorial debut on the WRCT stage. So I'm excited for this. It's going to be a fun, fun show.
And we encourage all of you to audition for this one. Come on down, check it out. You can even complete an online audition form and get that taken care of right away if you want. And there are a few directors that I feel more confident saying this about, it's just your first directed show, what have you. Melissa's been doing this for a while, though, as far as acting and theater, and she is going to be one of the people that you want to audition for, you want to work with.
Thanks, James.
A rising tide raises all boats, and Melissa is incredibly good at that. and going to give you a fun and safe environment to audition, to have fun. So you got about a month here to kind of start prepping for it and thinking about it and everything, and you can complete the audition form and meet us at WRCT for these auditions coming up March 10th.
Yes, the audition form, like he said, is online, and the character descriptions are there as well, so check it out.
We'll talk more about it as we get closer to it. For now, we're going to take a quick time out. We'll come back, and we're talking about Facebook's 21st birthday, 21 things you should not post on there.
All right.
Coming up on the morning show at WFHR.
Bov.
Welcome back, everybody. Morning show at WFHR, locally grown radio. Melissa and James hanging out with you. Thanks for joining us, everybody. Like it or not, Facebook is a common word and something we all know about. Whether you are on...
I thought you were going to say Facebook has reached the age of majority.
Facebook is 21. It is old enough to vote. And old enough to affect our politics. Great.
Well, and it has been old enough to vote since, 18?
Oh, I'm sorry. I meant, but yes.
It's old enough to drink.
Yes, there we go. Yes.
Which is the thing you should not do and post on Facebook.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes. And the number one thing, maybe. it debuted on February 4th in 2004 as the Facebook. Napster founder Sean Parker famously got Zuckerberg to drop the word the a year later. In honor of his 21st of their 21st birthday, here are 21 things you should never post on Facebook. But before we get into that, I do want to note one thing that I feel like in life we got to get better at this. At looking, sometimes there are no villains. Sometimes there are no heroes. There are just people. There are just things. And the majority of things in life are gray. And Facebook is one of them. Social media is one of them.
There's the good and the bad.
Yeah. And I think taking that into consideration when it comes to this or anything else in life is, you know, is lame or common as it may seem, we need to remind ourselves of this. Like every one of us, I included, you know. So reminder there, the good, the bad of this and everything. I see some, you know, really horrible things, horrible comments. I've had some tense things said to me and sent to me even recently. And at the same time, when I'm this weekend, when I'm seeing an anti-Semitic message sent to me, which, by the way, I've already taken care of and everything.
Good.
When that kind of stuff happens, I just, you know, let you all know, in case you're that person thinking about suing something like that, couldn't have any more. It could not slow me down one bit, because I see that and I'm immediately reminded of, oh, I remember when my daughter sent me this on Facebook, or the last conversation I had with my papa was through Facebook Messenger. You know, you're just giving me good reasons to have good memories. So, you know, I mean, and this is what I do with it, to each their own and how they use these things. And I would encourage more and more people to, if you're feeling negatives from it, tune out. You don't have to do it. You don't have to be on it.
And you don't have to comment.
I use these social media apps to certainly catch up with friends when I can and everything. But being honest with everybody, I don't have a lot of time, so I'm barely on any of the apps I'm on. But I use them to promote our stuff, promote you know, the industry in these things, and to share a little bit with our audience and that stuff.
They have a place in our society for good, evil, or negative. You know, neither.
Here are 21 things you should never post on there. Anything illegal, please. Don't do that. Why would you do that? Why? Just don't. Answers to common security questions like your first car, your mom's maiden name, or something like that.
Yeah, a lot of those quizzes that were going around that were really big, probably, I don't know, like 10 years ago, that were just, oh, you know, all about you. This will tell you what you should have for breakfast tomorrow if you answer this quiz.
Yeah. What kind of breakfast food are you? Answer the quiz, you know. Your home address includes photos of your new place that after you move. You know, being careful about those things. One thing I'll say, a lot of phones nowadays have this, one of the cooler things I've ever seen, like a magic eraser. So, you know, you can kind of erase that kind of stuff if you want.
Or you can block it out or put a sticker over it. You can do that with your kids' faces.
Yes. Your phone number. If you want more scams, calls, go for it, I guess. But otherwise, you probably don't want to be doing that.
Yeah, don't attach your phone number.
Embarrassing pictures of other people. They
it's
may
just not,
not
nice.
Yeah. You could post anything you want of you. We don't necessarily recommend it, but that's on you. But as far as posting pictures of other people, I don't care how close. CC the conversation we were having before about how close of friends you are with people. I don't. My oldest friend in the world. We had this old. We had this old picture of him and I when we were like in sixth or seventh grade, and Chris had a rude dog shirt on or something, and he was a little chubbier back then. And stuff. I thought he was a handsome guy, but I mean, he was worried about it. This is like 10 years ago. I posted it, and Chris couldn't. It's made of Teflon. I mean, nothing bugs this guy. He messages me, hey, could you not post that picture anymore? Like, well, okay. Like,
that down, man.
You just never know. I would have never guessed that in a million years if he didn't say anything. You know, I mean, that kind of stuff. Think about other people and this stuff.
Yeah.
It is a funny picture. It is. But you could share those pictures with your own friends, with your own, you know, your close-knit group and everything.
You could just send it in your little text group. This is just putting it out into the world.
Yeah, for decades and decades, people have had, oh, I've got my friends and my work friends, or I've got my, you know, that thing. Now we have social media friends and our regular friends. So I'm talking, you know, you got your social media crowd. And
the
then
lines all got muddied.
It really, really has, your license.
Ooh.
Unfortunately, this is something a lot of, like, younger people, when they first get their license, do. And I get that it's exciting.
You're proud of it. It's a good moment. Yeah, absolutely. But don't actually post the picture of it.
I'm not sure if it's on here, but especially with one right around the corner, very similar to when you were voting. And not, you know.
That's illegal.
Yeah. Big time.
Don't post a
big
picture
time.
Of your ballot.
Please don't do that. Other people's big news. Make sure they announce it first.
My cousin's having a baby.
Mm-hmm.
Don't do that.
How long I had to sit on my oldest being pregnant. and then when she had the baby, sitting on the idea of like not telling anybody except for close family, of course, and everything.
But, oh, wait, have we announced this on air? Congratulations, Papa.
Yes, yes. Thank you very much. Yeah. I'm extremely excited and very proud of them. Very, very proud of them. Congratulations to you, Bree and Matt.
And none of my cousins that I know of are pregnant. So sorry if I announced something I didn't know. But no, I don't think so.
That would be the luck, wouldn't it? That would be the luck. Yeah.
I do have a lot of cousins.
One of the things that I think that I had to learn, like many other people, details about when you're leaving on a vacation or even if you're just going out of town for the weekend or something like that. That's a big one. Don't be sharing that information.
Don't make yourself a target.
Your work schedule is another one they mention. Yeah. Party photos, you know.
Those could come back to haunt you.
Emotionally charged posts, the type you end up regretting the next day. There's a famous football coach, Herm Edwards, and he said this like at the dawn of this stuff, probably 21 years ago, really when Twitter started getting really big. Think before you hit send.
Yep.
They got a great thing on most of these apps where you can leave a draft. Like, if you don't want to post it right now, you can, you know, get it all typed up and ready to go, and then you can post it when you want to later or something like that. Do that. Think about it. Just give yourself a breath. Give an hour or two, really. It's not going to matter if you post it now or an hour later. Just take some time with it. I actually do this with a lot of comments. Where I get frustrated about something that's said or whatever by a personality or something like that, and I'll write something out. I'm all angry. And then I pre-read it because I'm a horrible speller. So I will look at it and everything. It's okay, what's... And then I just sit back. And do I really need to post this? Does anybody really care what I have to say about this? Or do I really care that deeply? And by the time I get to the end of it, most times I'm kind of good and I don't post it. But typing it out helps. So maybe that's what can help people. Go ahead and type it out. Just don't hit send.
Or just journal about it.
Yeah.
You know, write it in somewhere that's a safe place that is not the internet. It's not out there anywhere. You can't accidentally hit send, but you've vented about it, or vent to a friend through text. You know, but put it somewhere where it's not going to come back to haunt you in a way. And I would say anytime you're feeling any kind of strong emotion, that's not the time to post. Whether you're happy, sad, angry, depressed, you know, whatever that emotion is. That's not the time to be posting things out to the world.
I think we know this, but even if you don't, scientifically, it's been proven that it clouds our judgment. These things cloud our judgment and our thought process. We're not thinking, we're literally not thinking straight. So it's important to take a breath, and see if you still feel that way afterwards. Arguments or personal drama, revealing photos, relationship issues, all of these things are also on the list, and all these things I think are also important. How many, do people really need to know that Joe didn't take the garbage out? Like, does that really need to be said on social media? Not only is it keeping you safer by not sharing that stuff, but I also think that it's you don't have to apologize later.
You're not going to look back on it and be like, oh man, I really wish I hadn't posted that, when you've reconciled with the person you just got into a fight over with something.
I feel like I say it too much, but future you will appreciate this. Think before you hit send. And facts you get from a meme, 99% of them are bogus. And if they're not, looking it up will not harm you any. Taking a moment to look things up and looking into it, it's important.
And reposting things, make sure that what you're reposting is factual. It's hard. It's really hard on Facebook, especially right now, because the guardrails are down. People are free to post whatever they want without being checked.
Yeah.
So double check your sources. Double check something that, even if it's somebody you trust.
Yeah.
Maybe they didn't do their homework before they posted it. So you should do yours.
And a fitting one for Facebook's 21st birthday, never post while drunk. Just don't do it. Just don't do it.
In fact, if you're going to get drunk, hide your cell phone.
You know, I don't think a bad idea, as some of these apps are evolving and everything, maybe having a breathalyzer before you can open them.
Why do you have that big device on your phone? Well,
I posted way too many things I shouldn't have, man. I posted way too much.
And funny note, after you've, you know, you're sober and you use mouthwash, you can't pass a breathalyzer.
That is something.
I don't know that that's actually true. I think it might be. But
I love it. That's a fact you should look up, everybody. You should look up. We will take a break. We'll come back and have some more fun on the morning show. Welcome back, everybody. Morning show at WFHR. Melissa and James hanging out with you. Hope you're having a good one out there. Going to get into our schedule and some other fun stuff a little bit later. But right now, hot food takes.
Hot food.
Yeah, we're talking, are these food hot takes relatable or horrible? let's take a break from the world itself and the debate of internet's last batch of food-related hot takes. Which of these are relatable and which of them are criminal?
Mm. Ooh. That sounds serious.
Yeah. And again, audience participation is required. We want to hear from you out there. Reach out to us, 424-2600. Mint chocolate is nasty. Quote, mint chocolate ice cream is okay, but everything else tastes like toothpaste. Hmm. That is one of the, this is our first hot take. Could not disagree more. Could not disagree more. Now, I can't eat a lot of it, but when I'm in the mood for it, like mint chocolate or mint chocolate ice cream, yeah, that nails it.
I was actually looking for mint chocolate ice cream the other day, and I couldn't find it in my local grocery store with a dairy-free option.
Yeah.
But it is when you got a hankering for it, and we're coming up on St. Patty's Day here. You almost have to have mint chocolate ice cream. Shamrock shakes, man.
We've got Girl Scout cookies coming up pretty soon. The first
yes,
thing
thin
I
mints.
Yes,
thin
the mints. First thing I think of with this combination. So yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Whoever invented ants on a log should be forever shamed. No, I think that's a little harsh. I think that's a little.
It's a fun way to get kids to eat fruits and vegetables and peanut butter. Come on.
Yeah. I mean, mushrooms are the devil's food.
No. Well, you may think that, James, I think they're fantastic.
Yeah. This is so arbitrary. This is so.
Somebody doesn't like these things. And you know what? That's fine.
Yeah.
They can hate them. Now, for a lot of people, mushrooms, it's a texture thing, because mushrooms definitely have a very definite texture.
Well, and I think especially, you know, like a lot of things, like food and music and stuff, it's about what you grew up with, what is nostalgic to you, what is comforting to you.
I think there are things that you would like mushrooms in, for example, a beef Wellington. Because the mushroom is like minced and mixed up with other things. It's not just chunks of mushroom.
Maybe that's it, because there is something that I don't buy mushroom in, and it's partially because I can't even taste it. Yeah,
Right, or you can't define the texture.
Yes, yeah, because that's what I'm learning more and more. That's what it's about to me. It's not so much the flavor as the texture.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And all that we just said, I think, is big in this next one. Boxed mac and cheese is better than the restaurant version. That's one that I might lose people on, but for me, I kind of agree. I prefer the boxed mac and cheese, but that's what I grew up with, and it's nostalgic. Right. And
it's what you're familiar with. It's the what you want when you want that comfort food, because boxed mac and cheese is a comfort food.
Yes.
And how many of our hardworking mothers had time to make homemade mac and cheese?
Yeah.
My grandma made it for us a few times, and it was good, but it's very different. From box mac and cheese.
Sweet does not belong with savory or salty. Quote, every time someone raves about candied bacon, a piece
candied
of my
bacon.
Candied bacon. I don't know. I'm sad for this person. I don't know. I don't see anything necessary.
Salted caramel.
There you go. Yeah.
Salted caramel is one of the best things in the world.
It's good stuff.
I'm sorry, this person. I feel sorry for your soul.
Raw tomatoes are disgusting. Quote, they taste metallic.
What? You have never, ever experienced the luscious goodness of a fresh grown tomato in your garden, straight off the vine, perfectly ripe. You cut it open and the juices just kind of well out. You sprinkle a little salt on there. It's heavenly goodness in your mouth.
I might be taking the take part of this too seriously, but I am a sports guy, and in the sports world, this is big. Having hot takes is how you get clicks and how you get noticed and all these things. It's really overdone, and it's too much. But I one thing from that world that you can tell, oh, they just said this to get clicks. Oh, they just said this to sound controversial, or oh, they just said this to, you know, get a rise out of people or something like that. I wonder how many of these might be that too. Where it's just kind of like, I don't know if the person actually believes it, or they just want to rattle people. Yeah, there's a lot of that. So I wonder how many of these are actually genuine, because I've never heard somebody say that about Raw Tomatoes before. I've heard the metallic thing. I have heard that, but I've never heard somebody say that people that like them, that they're disgusting or anything. I've never heard that one. The boring, less sugar, non-weird, and wacky mascot cereals are the best, like Cheerios, Chex, Corn Flakes, Shredded Wheat. everything Melissa was saying before about the sweet and salty, I will say about this. Like, you know, it's probably not good for you. It's not good for you, most of these and everything, and I understand that. But, you know, you counter that with things that are good for you. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I Melissa, if they take this out of my diet, I don't know what happens to me. I might just disappear if we take cereal away.
Well, every once in a while, I get a craving for Fruity Pebbles, and so I buy a box, and I eat the whole box.
So good.
Okay, so, good. Yes. So yeah, judge happens. Me. Yeah. It's fine. But then the box is gone, and I don't have any more Fruity Pebbles for, like, 6 months.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, it's the process. It's your process. 3 years.
I mean, I can't even remember the last time I had them. But, yes, if you're going to eat cereal on the regular, stuff like Cheerios, Chex, Corn Flakes, they're great. They're excellent for you, and it's a good part to add fiber to your diet.
Wrapping up for time-wise here, cheese on burgers make them taste less fresh. That's weird interesting. Take. That's interesting.
What,
yeah, that's a weird one.
What kind of cheese are you eating?
Yeah, yeah. Coffee is too bitter to enjoy, even with sugar and flavors added.
Stop going to Starbucks.
I don't. Who is this person? Now I'm getting upset. Wait a minute. No. We all know people that they don't necessarily, they're not a coffee person. They're just not a coffee person.
Great. Yeah. And that's okay. Drink your hot chocolate and be happy.
Yep. More for the rest of us. And finally, ham and pineapple are okay on pizza, only if they're also green chilies. Interesting.
Okay. So you need a little bit of spice with your sweet?
I guess so. Yeah.
I mean, okay. To each their own. Again. Mm. What you like is what you like, and that's okay.
Oh, one more. Okay. The more rare the fish, the better. Quote, give it to me raw. No.
I have a hard time eating sushi if it's raw. Yeah. I want to be able to be, like, but I feel like it's Russian roulette at this point.
Yeah.
am I going to get food poisoning? Am I not? I mean, I don't know. It's no shade necessarily on the restaurant. It's just our food industry.
Yeah. Yeah, it's questionable. It's something to keep an eye on. Questionable, like a lot of these takes. Very questionable. Mm-hmm. Very. Mm-hmm. We will take our final time out. We'll come back and wrap up the show, morning show, with James and Melissa here on WFHR. Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR. Melissa and James hanging out with you. Thanks so much for joining us. We're going to get into our schedule and touch on some other things before we wrap up. But I got a good story of the day I really want to get to. An entrepreneur has been transforming old cement bags into solar charging backpacks to help children read at night.
Wow, that's cool.
Comes to us from the Good News Network. Shout out to Andy Corbley for the great reporting on. You can find this at goodnewsnetwork.org. This local entrepreneur in Tanzania is cleaning two hurdles with one leap by transforming old cement bags into backpacks that include a small solar panel to power reading at night.
Wow.
By clearing municipal waste and helping rural children study after dark, the bags won the backing of the United Nations Development Program for their problem-solving potential. Some bags employ 85 rural workers to satisfy a demand of over 13,000 backpacks a month. They can't meet it, but they do their best to try to get as many of them made.
Wow.
The backpack
is so cool.
The backpack craze is all due to Mr. Innocent James, born in Mawazay region of northern Tanzania. He remembers studying for school by light of a kerosene lantern. And more than 20 years later, many rural households still depend on this adequate implement for lighting after dark. It's expensive to run these, and they're dangerous.
Dirty. They burn dirty.
Yeah, a lot of kids have been hurt by these, just from trying to study at night.
Yeah.
The man carried a solar panel to charge his phone sewn into the fabric of his jacket, giving James the idea to sew cheap, flexible solar panels into the outside of bags to power a reading light.
Wow.
He began making the bags himself back in 2016, sewing together around 80 per month and selling them for between the equivalent of $4 and $8.
That's awesome.
James's fledgling business was supported by the UNICEF's FunGo Invitations Program, funded by the European Union and the UK government. And the impact of these the Soma bags have been tremendous. The bags have provided children with a reliable source of light that allows them to read at night. This has led to an improvement in academic performance as children are now able to study more effectively. The bags have also provided children with access to inform and communication, allowing them to keep in touch with their family and friends. The company generates revenue throughout the bag sales and exclusive brand partnerships while significantly contributing to the environment conservation of repurposing up to 200 million or 200,000 cement bags a month.
Wow.
This is the definition of win-win-win-win situation. Mm-hmm. And it was all started by one guy and an idea.
Yeah.
And for a couple of layers to this, I think are noteworthy. One, the entrepreneurship and how great that is, and to see that, how hard it can be in other countries and what they go through in other countries, and having some empathy and understanding of that, and some appreciation of what we have and how good we have it. It doesn't mean that there isn't struggles going on in our own country or anything like that by any means. It just puts them in perspective, hopefully. And shows that those struggles that we can overcome, that we can do this. They can do it there. We can do things like this here. There are so many great, good stories out there. Now more than ever, I encourage you to look them up, to find them, and to listen to stations like ours and programs like ours, where we keep you informed, we keep you up to date, and we also keep you laughing, hopefully.
we do what we can. I mean, there's not a ton to laugh about necessarily every day in the news, but we find that the silver linings.
Sometimes when it is really hard and there is nothing for us to, you can laugh at me. I always give you that option, everybody, whether I want to or not.
Should we talk again about your headphones getting stuck in your now short hair?
Oh, please. Let's. Nothing. It's a great story. I encourage you to find it and many, many others at goodnewsnetwork.org, goodnewsnetwork.org. A big tip of the hat to that gentleman.
Yes,
that's pretty
and
cool.
And a big tip of the hat to the developed nations who help our struggling nations do better things for their people.
You can find other good stories, too, and great information at our WFHR newsletter. Sign up, everybody. Got a new edition coming up this Thursday.
On Thursday, you can sign up at WFHR.com. Just give us your email, and we will send you that free. We will not sell your email. I feel confident in saying that. And that you'll get free news from our state, from our area right here.
Tailored for this area. Be sure to sign up for that. Check it out. Go to WFHR.com and sign up for it, everybody. And keep in mind, if you can't get us on your radio dial, you can always get us at WFHR.com. We're streaming 24/7 there.
That's right. Another free app.
Got a great lineup for you today. It kicks off in just a little bit with Matt Nair on air. Join Jane and returning Greg.
Yay! Greg's back.
They're back at it. Go ahead and join them in a little bit. They'll get you ready for the noon hour. And be ready for us a little bit later for Midday Magazine Tuesday edition. In part one, we're welcoming our friends from the Historic Point Boss. We're going to talk about Winter Feast coming up.
Good. Awesome.
I could talk to those guys all day. I love our friends from the Historic Point Boss. We'll be talking with them a little bit later. And our great friend Aaron Hess, branch executive with our Southwood County YMCA, is going to be with us a little bit later.
Awesome.
That'll be a good one. We got great stuff lined up for you today, too, as well. It's a ball night over on our sister station, WIRI, at 6:50. Nakusa Boys Basketball hosting Adams Friendship. Mike, Randy, Beth going to cover this one for you.
Excellent.
And right here at WFHR at 7 o'clock, it's a Big Ten matchup with Wisconsin men's basketball team taking on Indiana. So all be good stuff for you. Be sure to check that out, everybody. I want to remind everybody as well about some local Lincoln High School local concerts going on. Lincoln High School has concerts coming up this month. They'll be at the Wisconsin Rapids Performing Arts Center, free with a donation to benefit the Lincoln High School music program. They got one coming up on the 10th at 6:30.
Excellent.
And one on the 18th at 6:30. That'll be the Lincoln High School Orchestra concert.
Great. Support our youth pursuing music.
Yeah, yeah. Help fund the arts, everybody. Help support the arts. We greatly appreciate all the work
and
people
are... And just have a darn good time, too, because those kids are great.
Yeah. And the Lowell Senior Center is, again, partnering with AARP to provide free tax consulting for those who need the criteria needed. Appointments are necessary, and they're taking them right now through April 9th. You can make these appointments by calling 715-421-1051. That's 421-1051. Or visit their website, adrc-cw.org.
Excellent.
And encourage you to check that out, everybody. And those that need it, please feel free to do so. And
yes, indeed.
We are right around the corner. Chefs for Change is going to be on February 27th. This will be taking place over at the Nacusa Community Center. This is going to be a great, powerful event. The excitement begins at 5 with a cocktail hour where you can bid on treasures and silent auction, savor the appetizers. You're going to have some of our great chefs in this area cooking great food for you. It's going to be a really fun.
It sounds like a fun event.
I used to MC this, Melissa.
Yeah.
They upgraded. They got Joel Goodness to MC this.
Really? Oh, cool.
One of the best entertainers we have in this state going to be MCing awesome. This event. It's going to be a great one. Meet us there, everybody, because not only is this a great one and a great cause, but as we have reported many times, our domestic violence shelters around the country, including our own, have been just incredibly...
gutted. They've lost their funding.
And that's with the previous regime. Anybody feel confident about this one? That it's going to be the opposite of that? I would love to be wrong, but I don't think so. So we need it more than ever, and it's more important than it's ever been. We are still trying to recover from numbers we got during the pandemic. Be a part of this and find out more. You could be on the right side of history at familyctr.org, familyctr.org, and we'll meet you there, everybody. It's going to be a fun event. Going to have a good time. It's been a good time, a fun show today. I want to send a big thank you to our listeners for joining us.
Thanks for our callers.
Yeah. Great show today, Mel.
Yeah, you too, James.
Have a good day. And you guys be good to each other out there. We'll talk to you soon and later right here at...
This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM. W248 DE Wisconsin Rapids. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.